When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It is hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to talk college football with our buddy Danny Cannell, former Florida State quarterback, a heck of a college football analyst, and he'll be joining us on the line here real soon. Cowboys-Buccaneers Sunday pregame starts at 3 o'clock. Jack Collinsworth is going to join. It's going to be a star-studded guest list, as per usual, with Eric Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus getting that pregame started at 3 o'clock. Wolchuk and Broaddus in the postgame about 10:15 into the morning, and they're looking for your phone calls and reaction. I'm now, you know, hoping for a Cowboys loss. I was not Team Tank until Broaddus and Wolchuk explained to us this is one of the shallowest first rounds we've seen in NFL history. If you're picking 15, 16, you might be looking at second round players by that point.
Yeah, the number's somewhere usually between 18 and 22 on your first round grades from my experience. And this thing, you get to round 15, now you're starting to kind of talk about 16, 17 potentially being some guys that'll be second round grades on a lot of teams' boards.
Yeah. And then the good news is if you are hoping for a loss or don't mind a loss, I mean, the chances of the playoffs are so slim. You got to win all three. Washington's got to lose all three. And, you know, so it's just so far fetched at this point. I think that Cincinnati loss has to be, you know, really hanging over your head if you're anybody in that organization. So that's unfortunate. But the good news, you know, Brian Broaddus breaks the film on the Cowboys opponent every Wednesday and Thursday. And based on what you said, like the only thing the Cowboys have going for them from what I can tell is that, the Tampa secondary isn't great.
Yeah,
you know, that's about your only shot.
Yeah, they've had some problems. A lot of it, you know, we had Brianna Dix on, and she was kind of talking about some things about some of the health issues they've had. But this is a team that'll play with some cushion. And, you know, we saw a team that played with a lot of cushion last week in the Carolina Panthers, and the Cowboys were able to have some success throwing the football. More importantly, had success running the football. And, you know, it'd be nice if they can kind of get that going against the Buccaneers as well.
As a guy that grew up in Texas, played at LSU, What was the coldest game you ever played in? What was that experience like for you? As we get ready for Beaver Stadium tomorrow up there in Pennsylvania,
South Bend.
25 degrees.
South Bend, yeah. We played in 1985. We played Notre Dame, and actually it's funny because Steve Berline was a quarterback. It was Jerry Faust's last home game at Notre Dame, and then the next week they got mauled at Miami. But the temperature was in the high 20s. Mm-hmm. We actually, it was so funny because you never, ever played in conditions. But we just didn't know any better. You went up there, it was at the time a grass field, kind of a muddy condition, kind of a tough footing day. It was a 10-7 final. Played great defense that day against Notre Dame. But it was in the high 20s when we.
Who was their quarterback that day?
For them, yeah. Steve Berline.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve Berline was their quarterback, and it was a low scoring slugfest of a game, and we caught some breaks along the way, had some turnovers that we were able to get. You know, Notre Dame turned that ball over a couple times for us.
Danny Cannell joins us. Thanks to Bet Online for making it happen, and a good evening, Danny. How you doing?
What's up, guys? I heard Steve Berline mention one of my old teammates with the Denver Broncos. Berline's a great guy. He's awesome. But it's great. It's a little blast from the past. I actually played at Notre Dame in the game of the century in 1993 when I was a backup to Charlie Ward. and we came up short. But that game was unique because it was in November still. We thought it was freezing, but it was probably only about 50 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was just asking Brian about it because, you know, what kind of a situation is SMU in tomorrow, and what kind of a factor will those elements play, you think?
I think it is, like, it's something that, to me, it's all mental, like, at that point. Like, in watching some of the Notre Dame warm-ups taking place tonight, seeing the Notre Dame players without their shirts off, I know it's nuts, and I know it looks crazy, but it is almost a mental edge, and I think the opponent looks in that, and they're like, oh, these guys don't care, like, it's not that big a deal. That'll be something I'll be watching for, and I live in my, South Florida, so I watch the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. When they travel, they looked freezing, and they're, like, complaining about it. You have to act like it doesn't bother you, at least to get a start mentally, because everyone is in the same conditions, but I do think there is something to it. Having lived and played in New Jersey with the Giants or Colorado with the Broncos, your blood, like, does get acclimated, and it doesn't shock you. When you get off that plane from Dallas and you get off the plane in Harrisburg and State College, it's going to hit them. Like, and I'm sure it already has. They just have to mentally prepare themselves to get over it and say, look, I don't care how cold it is. It's going to hurt a little more when you tackle. It's going to hurt a little more when you get hit. You just can't let it faze you. But it is going to be something that impacts the game.
Yeah, Danny, you're absolutely right. I mean, I know one time when I was up in Green Bay, the Raiders came up there and played. And I had Terry Rubisky, the coach, told me, he said, you got us beat as soon as they opened the door on the airplane. When that cold air went through that plane, they were done. It's a hard thing to have to do. Mm. But how did these teams you talk about, the Southern teams, and having to manage that, is it really just that simple, though, as a mindset thing? Or is it going to take, the game plans are going to have to kind of be tailored for these things?
I think it depends. If it's just cold, I think it is more of a mental aspect. But if it's windy, you know, and that affects the passing game, because that's something I always hated was, you know, it can be cold. You can wear gloves, especially the gloves nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, they have bench warmers where you can be pretty comfortable, but it's snow and it's wind. Like, if there's moisture and you have trouble gripping the ball, then ball security becomes so important. If it's wind, then how does that impact your pass game? So I think it probably determines on the actual specifics of the conditions. If it's just cold, I think you call your game plan the same way you would any other time. But I do think it's unique with Kevin Jennings, who's such an athletic quarterback and can buy time in the pocket. He's so elusive. I do wonder if sometimes is that, like, when you're a player like that, that relies on quickness and speed, when you're bundled up and you're wearing an extra layer and you're wearing like maybe a dry fit that's maybe two or three layers, does it slow you down a little bit? You know, that's a reality, but it does slow the opponent down too. Like, that's what I always try to remind myself, is that both teams have to deal with it. But as far as calling the game, I think if you're Rhett Lashley, you call the game the same way you would if you were playing the game in Dallas.
It's such an impressive season, balanced offense, 38 points per game. And, everything they've done is great. How do you like their matchup? Are they going to continue to have success offensively against Penn State?
I think so. I think it could be similar to Clemson, though, right? And Clemson jumped out early, and it was a struggle early in that game. But Rhett Lashley's too good of an offensive mind, and Kevin Jennings is too much of a gifted quarterback, and he's got a lot of different weapons to work with at receiver. They're going to find ways to expose what Penn State does. But they've got some game wreckers. I mean, Abdul Carter, I'm sure you guys have heard his name. Mm-hmm. He's probably the best pass rusher in the country. Like, he could make life difficult for SMU, specifically Kevin Jennings, but I'm sure they're not going to go in without a plan for him, right? Like, you can move the pocket. You can, draw him in and drop a screen right over the top. That can be very frustrating for a pass rusher. You can chip him. You can do a lot of different things, which I'm sure SMU will do, but then SMU is going to counter. And the one thing that Penn State does like to do, they like to bring pressure. Tom Allen, their defensive coordinator, is a guy who likes to bring a lot of different pressures, a lot of different blitzes. I feel like that's going to be the big challenge, is how do they handle those pressures? How do they adjust to those? And most importantly, do they not turn the football over early when it's going to be challenging and you're faced with some difficult situations?
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're less than an hour from kickoff now, Danny, with Indiana and Notre Dame. What kind of a shot do you think the Hoosiers have of pulling an upset?
I actually like the Hoosiers. I do. I mean, I think they've kind of become a darling pick by a lot of people, but I actually think they're a really good football team. And I've heard a couple people criticize their schedule and say, well, they haven't played anybody. You might want to go look at Notre Dame's schedule as well, because Notre Dame hasn't exactly played a murderer's row of opponents either. They've, you know, and the opponents they did, whether it was Texas A&M, which they did win that game, but it wasn't pretty, or whether it was USC, another game they won, but they weren't quite as dominant as they were against a lot of those teams. I think Indiana and Notre Dame are very similar, but the one thing that I give Indiana the edge is I think they're more balanced on the offensive side of the ball. They've got a run game and a pass game, where Notre Dame, Riley Leonard is a great young man. I love him. He's incredibly athletic talent and quarterback, but he hasn't been the best passer. If Indiana can take away the run game of Notre Dame, that's the recipe for the upset. And I think they'll have some success doing it. They're more physical up front than people give them credit for.
What do you think about the Horns at home taking on Clemson, who was able to get into this playoff with a very impressive conference championship victory?
So I think it's a dangerous spot for Texas, right? I mean, Texas is now the favorite to win the national championship from the odds makers, and I get why, right? They have a ton of talent, and the path is clear, and Clemson comes in as this, you know, last team in. Go look and see how that works out for some of those teams in the NCAA tournament in basketball. Like, once you've been given new life, like, Clemson thought their season was over when they lost to South Carolina. They're sitting there, they lose to an in-state rival. They feel like they're booking tickets to Orlando for the Citrus Bowl or the Outback Bowl. But instead, that night, they're given new life when Miami loses to Syracuse. What do they do with that? They beat SMU. And pretty, I thought that was a really maybe one of their better performances of the year. Then all of a sudden, they have an opportunity to go against Texas in a game that no one thinks they can win. They're a, you know, a double-digit underdog. And they're like, you know what? What do we have to lose? There's no pressure. Then you've got Texas, who's the favorite, who in the two biggest games of the year they faced against Georgia, they lost them both. They're 0-2. And, like, I could see some rumblings and some people getting a little bit stressful if Clemson's able to hang around, which I do think they will be able to. But ultimately, I do think Texas's defense is what's the difference in this game. That defense has been phenomenal, but I do think it'll be challenging for them. I like Clemson and all those points. I think Texas probably comes out with the win at home.
Is that your lock, or do you have another banger against the spread for us or over-under?
Yeah, so my favorite play of the weekend is probably, so I like Penn State to win against SMU. I would lay the points, and I hate saying it because I know in Dallas, probably a lot of people, I just feel like Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, those backs are going to be too much, too overpowering for SMU's defense. So that's one of them. The other one is Indiana. And if you like them, you know, I love Indiana with the number, and I don't hate it with the money line sprinkle either. And the good thing about that one is you don't have to wait long to place your bet because that game's kicking off in less than an hour. So I like giving that out too.
Hey, Danny, I'd like to ask you about the Bill Belichick hire at North Carolina. And how do you see, does that change anything in the ACC, or is it something what's your take on all that?
So I mean, as a college football analyst and somebody who talks about the game, you know, that's all I do. I love it because it's going to provide a lot of material, and it already has, right? There's mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, speculation. What is it going to be like? I tend to be one who thinks it could work, but I don't know if there's any middle ground, right? Like, I don't know if he's going to be 8-4, 7-5. I think it's either going to be, you know, 10-2 and challenging for ACC championships, or it could be 3-9, especially knowing the way college football works. I mean, Florida State's a great example. Florida State was all in, and last year they were great in the portal. This year they missed on a couple guys. You face some adversity. They're not happy. They quit. That's something I think Bill Belichick as a reality could have to deal with if it doesn't go well. How does he get players to respond when – and I, you know, he's one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen, but talk to the players who play for him, and any season when they maybe didn't meet expectations, it's miserable to go to work. And maybe in NFL where you're getting a lot of guys who are professional kind of used to that, they'll show up and still put up a good fight. The tendency I've seen from a lot of these college programs is players throwing the towel. But like I said, I've been optimistic. I think he's shown a lighter side, whether it was because of the time he spent in the media, or he realizes the game that you have to play in recruiting and attracting players to come to Chapel Hill. I think he's sort of embracing this, and it's kind of reinvigorated him and brought some life and maybe a little bit of levity. Not a lot, because I still think he's going to coach the players hard. But the other difference is, too, in the NFL, you get drafted to play for Belichick. You don't have a real choice. And I do think he struggled to relate to players in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. But the players he's getting at North Carolina, they know exactly what they're signing up for. I think they know they're going to sign up to play for a coach that's going to coach them hard and hold them to a high standard, maybe even yell and chew them out. And I think that could work because the players are not going to be surprised by it.
How would you like Texas matchups with Arizona State and Oregon?
Oh, I like them. I think if they get through Clemson, again, I think it's like the first game. It's the first game jitters. Like, how do you do against, you know, a traditional blue blood? I mean, Clemson, they may have had a bad year, but their roster makeup actually does have a lot of NFL guys and a lot of NFL talent. I think the spread will be bigger against Arizona State. I think I already saw the line was maybe close to 2 touchdowns, so I like that matchup. And then against Oregon, I think Oregon is the best team in the country. Like, I picked them to win the national championship in the preseason. I haven't backed off of that. But, I mean, anybody can win this thing, which is what's great. I think Quinn Ewers has to play to his capabilities, which I don't think he has yet. I don't know if it's because he's still banged up. Is it the oblique? Is it the ankle where he's essentially wearing a ski boot when he's out there playing quarterback? I don't know what's going on with him, but maybe, just maybe, after taking almost 2 weeks off between the SEC championship and this game, like, maybe he's better because he's healthier, and that could do him wonders. Where all of a sudden you get that vintage Quinn Ewers performance like he had against Alabama last year in Tuscaloosa, or like we saw in Michigan earlier this year. If you get that version and he kind of eradicates some of the inaccuracy and some of the inconsistency, then Texas absolutely could win the whole thing.
Danny Cannell with us. And Danny, based on our feedback, I think you might have picked up at least one more hater with your SMU take there, but you've never shied away from controversy and honesty, have you?
And I'm an ACC guy. Like, I want them to win. I would love to be wrong, but I do feel like it's just going to be too overpowering. The weather, the conditions, and, man, that like, I was in Indianapolis and watched Penn State have 2 100-yard rushers against Oregon, and you know the respect I have for them is the best team in the country. I just worry about that, what could be. But I love Rhett Lashley. I love Tevin Jennings. I just think it's going to be a little bit too overwhelming for them on the road.
SMU a force in this conference for years to come?
Yeah, I knew they would be a force. They surprised me being a force this early. But this is a program that has rich tradition. They've got money to spend. They've got, you know, the desire to want to compete in football. I absolutely think they're there to contend and be like a perennial team that competes for ACC championships, without question.
Danny Cannell brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you so much. Enjoy the great weekend.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Cheers. Sorry we were a little late there, buddy, coming back from break. But we appreciate your patience with us and staying on there. Okay, Danny Cannell, a college football expert with you in the GBAG Nation. When we come back, it is time for a Friday news dump, Woolchuck.
We got some Major League Baseball free agent signings. How about Matt Duchene on Pete DeBoer and a historical night in the association? That's next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.